Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 146. This is the 146th edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. We're trying a whole bunch of different stuff today. We are actually back on Ustream.tv. We got a whole bunch of the other issues that we had going on sorted out. We had been on Comcast Internet, which ended up doing a whole bunch of different things to our show. We had great speeds and everything, but the problem with it ended up being, like, right in the middle of the show, it would just cut right out for no apparent reason. I mean, not just during the show. I mean, it would happen when we weren't even home. I mean, there was just a bunch of stuff happening, a bunch of stuff going on that we weren't really too thrilled about. So we switched over to a DSL connection. First of all, it's a little bit slower, so if there's a little stuttering in the video, we apologize. Which, by the way, if you wanted to find it, you can head on over to caffeination.com and click on the Ustream.tv link, and you'll find our show over there. There's going to be a direct link to the show in the new show notes that go up, actually. So first of all, we'd just like to welcome all of our new listeners and viewers over at Ustream.tv and at listeners from www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. That's where this episode and the rest of the episodes in the series are going to live. They do live, actually. Yeah, like I said, we're trying a whole bunch of different stuff right now. We're trying to mix media in a whole new and fun way. At least we hope it's fun. So we'd just like to give you a little bit of information about today's show. Today's show is wired, tired, and still a little bit convenient, being the 7-Eleven of today. Whereas I was actually on my way home today, and the wife said, "Oh, yeah, you know, they were giving out free Slurpees today." Yeah, didn't know that. Probably would have taken a walk by if I had figured that out. But, hey, it's all right. We are exceedingly wired, so we have the traditional mug of coffee, which is exceedingly low at this point. And then we also have a... We've been consuming caffeine at record levels today. Got a lot accomplished in work, so it's kind of a fun little day to actually be a part of. You know what I mean? So, all right, we have a little bit of general information. We actually have a PodSafe artist from not on the PodSafe Music Network. We have permission to play this gentleman, and we'll talk to you about that in a little bit. We also have a huge section of tech tidbits here today. If you're unfamiliar with the show and you don't know what the tech tidbits are, basically we take the news culled from around the internet. We like to think it's the best news that we can find. It's a whole bunch of different fun stuff that's out there, and you know, it can be directly tech related. It can be like, you know, Linux stories and things like that, or it could be just stuff I found online and I decided to deem it tech related. So yeah, we're trying to get a whole bunch of a variety into the show, so yeah, there is that. So hopefully you find that fun. And then we're got a little bit of caffeinated bits, and actually a lot of bit of beer tech today. Big fan of beer, and we're actually going to be having a block party here at my block. We just moved here last year, right before the block party, so it was actually kind of fun. You know, it was a nice way to meet all the neighbors back then, but now it's turned into this whole cool thing. I've never actually lived on a block that has a block party, so if you're unfamiliar with this, I live in the middle of Philadelphia, or not in the middle, I live in the northeastern suburb, or northeastern section of Philadelphia, actually, and, you know, any one given street, they basically block off both ends with a permit from the city, and then everybody has kind of like a little fair in the middle of the street. It's really fun. So it turns into kind of like one giant tailgating party. Everybody brings their grills out front from wherever they keep them. We actually are going to be rocking two grills here at the Caffeination Podcast. We got the big one that we're going to be doing all the hot dogs, burgers, and pork on. Then we have the little guy that we're probably going to end up putting a roast on, so that should be fun. And yeah, so it's just great game planning for that kind of stuff. It's a neat experience, so we're going to be having a lot of fun this Saturday, so Sunday's show might be a tad bit, I don't know, on the weary side, shall we say. So, yeah, all right, let's get right down into this stuff. Basically, we wanted to talk to you about some of the things. First of all, again, this is we're doing the Ustream.tv direct show, so you can head on to Ustream.tv/caffeination, and you'll find our link to my profile, and unless you're actually watching this live, which then it would be redundant, but nobody's in the viewer little box now. That's perfectly fine. You can catch it on the flip side after we're all done. All right, so you can head on over to Ustream.tv/caffeination, see the direct link to our profile. It's kind of, you know, you can see all the different shows we've done. You can actually see the couple little sliced and diced episodes that Or courtesy of Comcast. Now, courtesy of Cavalier DSL, we will hopefully have an uninterrupted show for your listening pleasure today. All right, second of all, we want to give you a little bit of our contact information. If you'd like to write us a comment, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, whatever else you feel like sending our direction, you can send that on over to caffination@gmail.com. That's caffination@gmail.com. We have a Grand Central number. We've actually gotten a lot of requests about this recently because of Grand Central's recent acquisition of by Google. We're actually going to be going into that a little bit later on the next podcast, actually, which is not going to be on Ustream.tv because we found out the Sunday episodes really didn't work for us. So we're only going to be doing one episode a week, Wednesday nights on Ustream, Wednesday at 11, so hopefully that'll continue to work out for us. But our Grand Central phone number, if you'd like to call in and leave a message, it's a direct-to-voicemail line. That's 215-240-1319. So it's a direct way. You get in there, you can leave a message, and you tell us whether or not you want us to play it on air or whatever else. If you want to tell me I suck, hey, that's fine. I'll play that. I don't really care. I do care if I suck. I mean, you know, constructive criticism would be greatly appreciated at this point. But still, all right. Second and thirdly, actually, we have a plea, I guess is the easiest way to say it. I am not beyond begging. We're just requesting that people head on over to podcastawards.com. If you think that this is a good enough show to be nominated, we ask that you nominate us in the general category. If you go about nominating us in any multitude of the categories that they have over there, the good friend... folks over at Raw Voice said they're going to be disabling accounts that receive excessive nominations in multiple categories. So basically, if you just go over there and try and spam the list, they're trying to avoid that happening. So I understand that. So we've decided that we'd like to try and be nominated in the general category, and then the secondary category would be the best produced category. If this is any actual indication there. So, I'd just like to give that a shot. You know what I mean? We are actually playing with a fun little program called Jazzler Pro. So, we're actually going to be switching over to a screenshot of the desktop. So, you're actually going to see that. So, if you're over at Ustream.tv, you're actually going to see the desktop that we're working off of. And you're going to see the countdown. Then, we're going to talk a little bit about the song, if I can make it. I got 1 minute left. Let's see if it actually works. Now, if this looks like crap, I'm sorry, but we're trying new things. You know what I mean? All right. So this is Jazzler Show. It's a fun little cart program that we have over there. You can see all the different little things up on the screen and all the different buttons that we can push. And this little thing up here is the actual countdown to the next show that's actually going to be played. So it's kind of fun, you know? All right. Now, we do have another artist. Is actually PodSafe because he has some of his demos available online. So the 579th greatest rapper in the world, that would be one MC Frontalot, has graciously allowed us to play one of his songs. And this is a specific song that, although there's one slightly off-color word towards the end, we're hoping that you don't mind. It's actually it's actually directly related to one of the stories a little bit later on. Again, here's MC Frontalot with his song Fresh Dog from MCFrontalot.com.
Yo, I got a little dog, the doggy's name is Doggy Fresh, and out of every single dog I've ever met, he's the best, and the rest of the dogs in the world, I wouldn't own him. Yo, my mom's tried to clone him, I got sewn in his skin a little microchip, so he could be a cyborg, wanna get him equipped with the GPS and the 802.11b, so he could hit me up on IRC when he got to go out and pee, and I just stand by the door and whine, wish he'd grow an opposable thumb sometimes, yo, but I don't mind, he gets me up and about, it's good to walk around the block, remind the dog, he ain't allowed to eat no street chicken and chase no squirrels, just to keep on kicking with the tail that curls, just to keep on fancy stepping with the ears that flop, just to rot. Yes, Doggy Fresh, you don't stop.
Who's a good boy? 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 Who's a good boy?
I got a little dog, the doggy's name is Doggy Fresh, and he'd be crazy charismatic like David Koresh. You could try to say pest about the fur on your clothes, but look out, you about to giggle when he lick on your nose. Calling, he shows up fast, he throws up grass. You got a nice carpet, he'd be dragging his ass, and he don't like baths, and he
barks at intruders. He be begging where the food is, like his owner was the cruelest. Non-dog food purchasing dog owner ever. He occasionally ekes out a treat through this endeavor. But you got to forgive him with his big brown eyes.
You got to go on to admit my dog's incredibly fly.
He bowed as fierce as a wolf, bowed as big as a fox. If he drops one beat, I'ma knock him out the box. Yo, your cat's name may be Maceo, but my dog is Doggy Fresh, and Doggy Fresh is good to go.
Who's a good boy? 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 Who's a good boy?
All right, so just a small little aside here, I guess you could say. We actually had to stop the show over at Ustream.tv because, unfortunately, I screwed something up and the computer actually froze that had the camera on it, so that's kind of useless. So, fortunately, since I'm recording on a different machine, that's not going to be a big problem in the future. However, I just have to work some stuff out for next time. So we will attempt to try that next Wednesday again. I might do a trial run on Sunday and not really tell anybody. But all right, again, that was MC Frontalot, the 579th greatest rapper in the world. He's a fun little guy. It's a genre called nerdcore, so in case you're unaware of it, it's actually a bunch of hip-hop that's related to nerd themes, I guess is the easiest way to describe it. So I find it fun. I find it a nice diversion. It's a great way to pass some of your listening hours if you are so inclined. So I'd highly suggest you check out that genre in full force. We would like to talk to you a little bit about our sponsor before we get too deep into the show. If you're looking for a better way to present or work together during your conference calls, your solution is simple. Web conferencing with GoToMeeting. During your call, everyone logs on to GoToMeeting.com and your computer screen shows up on their monitors. It's like you're all in the same room. GoToMeeting is perfect for sales or product demos, training, or real-time collaboration. Plus, you're not charged a permanent fee like some of the other providers that are out there. You can meet as often as you want for as long as you need for one flat rate. With GoToMeeting, you can meet with anyone, anywhere, anytime without ever having to leave your office, spring for lunch, or take a flight. Not only will you end up saving time, but a lot of money as well. See for yourself. Try GoToMeeting free for 45 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/podcast. That's PODCAST. That's GoToMeeting.com/podcast. Try GoToMeeting free today. All right, we'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination. So, my little experiment with the Ustream thing aside, I think we've been doing a pretty good job here at the Caffeination. I think everything's been working out a lot better than I ever could have imagined, and the sponsorship's a big part of that. So now we'd like to get on into the meat and potatoes here at the Tech Tidbits, or here at the Caffeination, rather, which is the Tech Tidbits. We like to find all the best and offbeat news that's out there, and hopefully, educate you a little bit, have fun with other stuff. One of the things that we actually did today was we were working really hard on a faculty machine. He brought it in. It was his personal machine from home, and it was just completely screwed up. It was an older machine, I think around 5 or 6 years old, maybe. And we were trying to do a couple of little things to it. And what had happened was the professor had two hard drives in the machine. The one was just a scratch disk, which, if you're unfamiliar with the term, it was actually used to just, it was like for temporary files. It was just crap files. There was nothing really important on it. In fact, there was no hard and fast files ever kept on that machine in that hard drive. That, unfortunately, was the first drive, or the primary or master drive on that particular chain, the IDE channel, as it is. If you don't know what that is, don't worry about it. It's not really important. What basically happened was that drive died. The drive with everything else on the guy's computer was left standing, left fighting proud, and unfortunately, it would not boot. The machine refused to realize that there was actually anything on there. It actually said, no, there's no operating system here. What are you talking about? And, it kind of stayed that way. So we like to try and... We were trying to work on it. We had a couple different things that we were saying, oh, yeah, maybe this will work, maybe that'll work. Nothing really ended up working. So we were trying to get out of the system. We were trying to get out of the system some of the data. We were trying to, because this was a relatively new installation of Windows on there. We were like, okay, now how can we go about doing this? And I actually had an older version of this particular piece of software, and it's free, which is the main reason that I used it. I'm a huge proponent of free software, and not just like free, like, oh, it was got from a guy down down the hall. I mean, like, no, I actually like freeware stuff, and it's because I feel that, you know, it's on certain of the applications out there. I mean, not even if they're just open source, but it's like you like it when people will release something for the greater good. Of it's like, hey man, I was having this hard time, and you know, it was really nice. I found all these utilities, so I collected them all and put them out for free on the internet. It was all awesome. So I had an old version of this, and unfortunately, one of the versions that actually messed around with the different partition tables and everything on there wasn't up to date enough to actually work on this guy's computer. So I found out that it is still in production, which is great, because the version I had was about 3 years old. It's called the Ultimate Boot CD. You can find it at ultimatebootcd.com. The current version that I actually used today was 4.1.1. It's an awesome tool. So if you are somebody who ends up fixing computers a lot, if you are somebody who just likes to play around with computers, there's actually relatively good explanations about how to use all the different utilities on there. Or if you are, you know, a tech and you were looking for another tool for your arsenal and you haven't yet found this one, I would highly recommend heading on over to ultimatebootcd.com and giving that a look-see. That's one of the things. It was like a late add to the program. I was like, man, you know, I had such a good experience with this thing today. I had to actually, I had to just bust out and tell somebody about it. So I decided to tell everybody about it. It just works out a little bit better that way. All right, Google is no longer a safe choice. The law enforcement is starting to realize more and more about the different problems that having freely available information. I mean, I'm pretty sure they'd all like us to just know how to knit, and that's pretty much else it. But apparently, a bunch of burglars broke into an indoor amusement center. Actually, sorry, I had everything else in the story all planned out on what I was going to say, but I forgot what got robbed. All right, so a bunch of guys broke in there, had all these passcodes to get them into the safes that were in there, and unfortunately, it just didn't work out. So they were in there for about an hour and a half, according to the video cameras, which you would expect, you know, somebody who's trying to rob a place would disable the video cameras in some manner. They would either cut the cord or spray something on the lens so you couldn't see who they were. Well, yeah, the gentleman who in question actually decided to spray WD-40 on the lens, which has the added benefit of actually cleaning it, so there was no dust or anything on, so people were able to actually watch this after the fact. Of course, they haven't been arrested at this point, but yeah, that's beside the point. They could not get into the safes in this thing. So what they do, they went into the computer in the office next door, Googled how to crack a safe, and it worked. They got all the information they needed, and they made off with $12,000. An hour and 15 minutes of unsuccessful attempts. This is in Colorado, by the way. So they went in there, Googled how to crack a safe. They got it. And, police still haven't been able to catch them. So you got to love that. Of course, they're saying, this is obviously an example of the dangerous information that you can find on there. And they in the article over at Ars Technica, they actually brought up a couple of the points there. Which are at the root of the freedom of information fight. The blue speech for free. They have ribbons for everything, but this is for free speech online, basically. It says that ISPs could be fined. People could be put in jail for linking to bomb-making articles. So I understand where they're coming from, and their heart's in the right place a lot of the times, but just limiting the access to it. I mean, I forget who said it, and I should probably actually look this up, but security through obscurity is no security at all. So, I mean, just because you make the information a little bit harder to find doesn't mean that people aren't going to try and blow things up. So, I mean, it'd be easier to monitor those sites and say, okay, XYZ downloaded the terrorist handbook, and we're just going to stop by his apartment because he's also been buying a lot of fertilizer. Hey, there you go. That's a nice little tip to play around with. All right, moving right along. It's apparently Ubuntu is the new champion. Ubuntu is a relatively... there it is. There's the article, sorry. Apparently, Ubuntu is the new hot distribution out there. Now, if you don't know what it is, basically, with Linux in regards to operating systems, a lot of people out there aren't very familiar with Linux. So I've been attempting to familiarize myself with different versions of Linux. I have a background in Unix, a slight background in Linux, and personally, I use OpenSUSE Linux, or SUSE, depending on who you're asking how it's... how it sounds. But There's different versions or called flavors or distributions of Linux. Basically, everybody tweaks it to do exactly what they would want. They add different programs in. They have different licenses for it. And it all boils down to there are thousands of these distributions out there. So when you're trying to get somebody who's a noob, somebody who does not know what they are doing with Linux, and you're trying to get them into the Linux fold, there's no easy distribution, because you have to either know the command line or you have to know all kinds of obscure programming languages, and it can be a real pain in the rear end. So Ubuntu came along with the idea that we're going to make Linux as simple as possible. We're not going to dumb it down per se. We're actually just going to make it, you know, so that it's, they call it Linux for people. So I mean, it's a really great concept that you wonder why nobody actually thought of it before. So I'm going to actually be doing a review of Ubuntu Studio in the on the next show, so you're going to see a full review. It's a different version, has all kinds of content creation stuff, so it has all, and oh yeah, by the way, almost all Linux is free, so Ubuntu Linux is absolutely free. Now, what the article here is saying is that actually that Ubuntu is the new biggest guy on the block, and it does something that none of the other major distributions that are out there have been able to do. It takes people who are relatively novice computer users. You give them the disk, say, here, install it. They install it and they can just use it. It has certain conventions that it follows. It says, okay, how would you like to shut down the computer? There's a menu and people can just somehow find their way there. It's a really nice operating system. I've actually been playing with, like I said, Ubuntu Studio, and I have played around with Ubuntu and Kubuntu, but they're all basically the same package. And like I said, we're going to go over that a little bit more in depth on this weekend's show on Sunday. So, but I just wanted to kind of point you over to the article. Hopefully you can head on over there and actually take a look at it. It gives you a lot of the big problems with Linux in general. It says, you know, people do not want to play around with the command line. I mean, certain people do, and hey, that's fine. There's distributions of Linux for them. They're called Slackware, or there's OpenBSD. Or if all that sounds Greek to you, then you're not the person who should be using those kind of Linux. You're the person who should be using Ubuntu. I'm the person who should be using Ubuntu. Basically, the article says everyone should be using this distribution. There is no tried and true, the best of absolutely everything with Linux, and people get into religious war, holy war kind of arguments over which version is better. So you kind of have to live and let live with stuff in general over there, but I just figure I'd pass the article along because I found it really useful. So, alright, next thing that we have actually here is we've had this sent to us by no less than 4 listeners. We said we weren't going to do any iPhone news, so I'm just going to mention this in passing. If you have never actually seen this web series, it's on YouTube. It's called Will It Blend? Basically, it's a promotion for, I think we talked about it here before on the Caffeination. It's a promotion for on one hand, it's a promotion for a blender company who makes high strength industrial and residential blenders, and on the other hand, it's kind of like a cult hit where they put all kinds of crazy stuff into the blenders and actually just let them rip. I don't know what kind of motors they have in these things. I was actually talking with the woodshop guy in work, and we don't know if they're using some kind of router motor, if they have like a car engine strapped into these things. They're really powerful. I mean, I've seen light bulbs, matches, rake handles, what was another, an actual iPod, cell phones, transformer toys. I mean, anything you can imagine, they've thrown it, magnets, hockey pucks. They've thrown it in there. Will it blend? That is the question. Well, they tried it with an iPhone. Now, for those of you who are out there saying, they wouldn't do that, that thing's like $600. And then you have to buy the service contract. Well, oh, yes, they did. It's an unbelievable promotion for them. And since the iPhone is so hot right now, it's unbelievable the amount of attention that's getting. Like, I never receive the same story from 4 people. You know, I never receive, you know, and then not just that, but they're all sending me different links. So I decided to cut to the chase and directly link to the Will It Blend? .com homepage, so that you can see all the slow motion glory. There is absolutely no doubt in my mind that they did throw a real iPhone in there, because you can see the parts coming apart and ripping to shreds, and they're all very recognizable as they come off. And you can see there's no like jump cuts or anything. They do a nice, beautiful slow motion shot, and you can actually hear the primal scream as it goes. And of course, yes, it did blend. So you can head on over there and check that out. I would also suggest you actually check out a couple of the other little stories they have over there. All right, now we have a lot of robot news on today's show. First up, the Yasak. Oh wait, I'm sorry. like I said, my pronunciation's off today, and been I butcher words with a random frequency anyway, but Yasukawa Electric Company actually is putting a robot on package sorting duty, which is kind of a fun little thing, but I don't know why that a lot of the Japanese robots are very human-looking, except for the fact that this thing has about 3 extra elbows on each arm. Apparently the robot can do an insane amount, much more than a human handler could do. It can sort at a rate, an unfailing accuracy at around 1,000 items per hour. So I don't know if it's sorting parts or just sorting packaging. So, I mean, all they did basically was plug it in, allow it to read barcodes, and it's like beep, 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 you know, little George Jetson kind of thing, and all of a sudden the thing's a sorting machine, literally. So I thought that was awesome. Now, the entire reason we played MC Frontalot on today's show is because of this next article. It's called Robo Dog or Robo Dog, and I've seen 2 or 3 different links for it out there. It's actually a product by it's one of the products by Microsoft, I think. Yeah, it's Microsoft Robotics Studio. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It can interface with Microsoft Robotics Studio. It's actually running Windows XP. It's a soccer-playing dog, so it was actually at the RoboCup, which we have a couple little videos of that elsewhere on today's show. It's actually a soccer-playing dog, so it can run around. It's kind of like the Aibo, but has like a certain level of awesomeness to it. First of all, there's a camera that it can take snapshots of the action in the front of it. It has kind of a clunky appearance to it, but it's also because it has a 500 megahertz onboard processor. This thing is more powerful than some of the computers that I've worked on recently. Has a Wi-Fi router in it. Yes, that's the entire reason that I linked up that we played the MC Frontalot song. Basically, he says he wants to install 802.11g on his dog so he can hit him up in ILC. That entire line right there, this is actually a robotic dog with Wi-Fi in it. So I just think that's awesome. I don't know if, you know, maybe it's a Wi-Fi repeater. I mean, it's just cool. So unfortunately, a roughly $4,500 price tag makes this a little bit out of range for around here, but it would be fun to scare the cats. And the cool thing about it, you can actually take pictures of the cats being scared because it has that little camera in the front, in the snout end. So, moving right along, RoboCup 2007. I was sent this by a couple people. It's actually the semifinal match between two teams from Germany, I actually think. Let me just make sure. Get the teams correct here. Nimbro and some kind of and the Darmstadt Dribblers. So basically it's the humanoid instance of the RoboCup, so they have different categories and everything there. These are mini little robots that are shaped vaguely like humans, and they actually show you all of these scoring touches. Now, there are a couple different... you know, every once in a while you take a look at it and you're like, oh man, why don't you just kick the damn ball? But then you realize that these robots are actually physically playing soccer, and it's just awesome. We are really close to having an entire sports league just dedicated to robots. I can feel it. But there's a couple of times where it's like, okay, you know, like there's a couple dive saves by the goalie that are just beautiful. And then one of the articulations that the robot went through, it actually stuck its foot out and then curved it to the side and actually kicked with the insole of its robotic foot around the defender and fell backwards. So almost like a sideways rainbow kick. It was a very soccer style kick around the defender into the goal and sacrificing the body for the shot. It was unbelievable. So and then of course there's the Zidane moment at 103 where one of the robots basically headbutts another one. Sorry to bring up any painful memories to anybody out there who remembers that. And then of course, since that, I found out that was the one of the finals matches that wasn't the actual final match. I decided to link up directly to the RoboCup finals match. I'm not going to ruin any of the things there, but basically Nimro actually beat the Darmstadt Dribblers, and the Team Osaka from Japan met Nimbro, which is the University of Freiburg in Germany, met the two in the finals. And it's kind of funny because the Germans have these tall robots and the Japanese actually have the short robots in the video. So the articulation in the finals video, you can see why both of these teams actually made it into the finals. Both of them are unbelievably well designed. So I can't wait to see what happens next year. All right, next little article is about... It's from over at Wired.com. It's called. It says researchers dream of humanizing androids. So basically, it takes certain what researchers are actually doing at this point are saying they're trying to take different parts of our anatomy, such as the spine, such as the way our muscles move in the arms. You know, the biceps, the triceps, the you know every little. Point of articulation that we have in our own skeleton, and they're using that for inspiration when they're designing robots. And up until this point, all the robots that have actually been designed have had rigid torsos. I mean, all the humanoid robots have actually had rigid torsos, which limits the amount of articulation, which I'm using that word a lot, but it limits the amount of movement that you know, limits the range of motion with different things. So this guy, Jimmy Orr, has actually developed the world's first self-supporting walking human robot with a flexible spine. So they're taking little bits of anatomy, little bits of physiology, crumbling them all together, throwing a heap of robotics in there, and actually developing robotic versions of our anatomy to a certain extent. I mean, it doesn't actually look like a spine. It actually looks like a set of boxes stacked up on top of each other. But the article goes through saying basically they're trying to create parts for the robots on one hand, and then at the second part, they're also saying that maybe these could be later on in life you could have a robotic implant for certain things. Now it would freak me out to have somebody with a robotic implant for a spine, because the only thing I would be able to remember would be Dr. Octopus from the Spider-Man comic book series and movie. So that would be what would be going on in my head. But I just thought it was awesome the level of inspiration some of the roboticists take from our own bodies. So we had the jumping robot on the last show. Now you have the robot with a spine. So I guess this would be the vertebrate robot, and the other ones would be invertebrate because they had all exoskeletons on there. So there might actually be a caste system developing within the robots, but this one can't play soccer, or football if you're not in the United States. Which I have such conflict with that term. It's cause I just wish there was one universal term, and there is for everywhere else other than the United States. So we have American football, which has almost no contact foot to ball. So all right, now the next little thing we have here is just kind of a little bit of a fun thing. It says basically stormtrooper fitness. It's what I would imagine that we would look like if we were robots. It's basically a helmet that's a bike helmet, which is a self-encased helmet with breathe air strips. It's a respirator attached to a bike helmet, so you look really hardcore and kind of like an Alien meets Predator version of the of a stormtrooper. It's all white with black highlights. It's awesome. So I just thought you'd head on over there and check that out. That one's actually from TrendHunter.com, but you can find all the links, as always, over at CaffeineNation.com. Now, if we have anybody out there who actually smokes, and we're not going to go into the whole should you or shouldn't you. There are a couple people here in the Caffeination office, the Caffeination listening audience, rather, that I know who's do smoke. So we're putting this out there for them. That, and I think it's just a really nifty gadget. Everybody has the idea of the car cigarette lighters, which are actually becoming rarer and rarer. Nobody has yet to develop other than one Bay device, which actually just took a car cigarette lighter and put it on your computer. I haven't seen any really cool cigarette or cigar lighting anythings from the computer. So this is apparently a highly designed version of that. It's designed by Dao Ma, and it comes in black and white motifs. It has gorgeous. It's gorgeous in its simplicity. It uses only 5 volts of current from your USB port, and it's a cigarette, cigar, whatever else you feel like lighting. It looks kind of like a little magic genie bottle. I thought it was pretty cool. I thought it was actually quite well designed, and I wonder if you could use it to actually light candles, because I'm pretty sure it only is a smoldering agent. So unfortunately, I don't think that would work for candles. Incense, yes. Candles, no. I just want an excuse to buy something like this. It looks pretty. all right, now the next little thing we have up here is what's old is new again, shared computing. Every once in a while, you see something come around again on the guitar. Something just keeps repeating and repeating and repeating. Back in the earlier days of networked computing, there was actually things known as dumb terminals, where you'd have one central server where all of the information was, all of the applications were on. It was one shared computing environment. And then there were just plain dumb screens, just the same as the name implies, that would have a keyboard, and I don't even think there were mice back at that point in time, but I do know later versions actually did use mice. But so you would all be using the same applications that were on the same server, and they've created a lot of network bottlenecks. So now they're basically saying that one of the ways to have a much greener lab for computers. Now, I know this wouldn't work for our lab, being the architecture lab, just because they're very graphically intense, very hardware-punishing applications that get run. But I'm pretty sure for, like, business labs, this would be unbelievable. It would reduce your hardware costs by a tenth. Let's just say it would reduce them by two-thirds, because you still have to buy the monitors and the keyboards. What they're basically doing is there's a... There's a program called Useful. It's called. You can find it at useful.com. And what it is it's a way to use 10 computers with one actual computer. So there'd be 10 workstations running off one actual computer. So what they're saying is, you know, this is an unbelievable... They say one computer being used to the fullest of its capacity, to the extent of its capacity, actually uses less energy, rather, than three computers idling, doing nothing at all, no one logged in. So that's a very sobering thought if you want to leave your computer on. This is a very eco-friendly site. It's over at ecogeek.com. But it basically, all it is a PCI card that you plug in, and it allows more monitors and keyboards to each be hooked into a regular desktop computer. Then the software from useful.com actually controls each workstation separately. I'm wondering if it actually does something along the lines of virtualization or, it's just there's all kinds of crazy stuff that's coming out, which is actually just recycling of old ideas with new technology that makes it more feasible. So this is awesome. I felt like I'd pass it along. So hopefully, you know, I'll find a little bit more out about this. Unfortunately, I wouldn't really be able to actually test drive it because there's no way I'd be able to use it. It might be great for internet workstations where we are, but I don't know too much else. But all right, again, what's old is new again. The RCA dog need not apply. There's a gramophone speaker it's called a phonophone. But it looks like a PVC version of a gramophone speaker sticking up out of the nowhere. It's actually an iPod or MP3 player dock. This one specifically is a iPod. Unfortunately, it's, yes, wait for it, $830. I will gladly melt my own, I would gladly hammer my own iPod dock out of tin with a tiny little speaker inside it than ever pay $830 for a... for an iPod speaker. I have something to plug it into my home stereo before I would do that. That's just ridiculous. It looks cute, so I thought I'd put it up there. Basically, it's really nice. And then again, the last What's Old is New Again and Cardboard is over from Trend Hunter. It says Design Curiosities, Cardboard Miniature Audio Equipment. So it has different, has like switchers, it has a Moog, has a tape, reel-to-reel tape dispenser, or tape player recorder thing. It's just kind of cool. it's a selection of miniature cardboard collections. And this actually struck a chord with me because I was right outside of our telecommunications department today. And I actually looked across their lobby as I was waiting for the elevator and saw an old switchboard. I mean, like one of the really old ones where you had to pull the cable out of one slot and put it into another. And it had like the terminal it was sitting at, had the desk, the whole 9 yards that you'd see from like, you know, the old Andy Griffith kind of show stuff, Andy Griffith moments on there. And I was looking, I was like, man, I've been in that office and I don't know how many times and I've never seen that. I really just wanted to go over there and play with it. Pretty sure they wouldn't let me, but it just looked awesome. It was one of those things where it was like an oh wow moment. And it's one of those days where I'm really happy to work in a university because it's like, man, they keep a lot of cool stuff around here. So if only I opened my eyes a little bit more. All right, another sort of similar thing, but a different vein. Amazing Lego dioramas imitate fine art. Now, when you click over there, it's actually an imitation of the famous painting Nighthawks. So by Edward Hopper. Thank you, Academic Decathlon, for knowing that without looking at the thing. I didn't know Edward Hopper's name, but I knew it was Nighthawk. Basically, it shows you a bunch of different Lego versions of it. This is from over at Gizmodo. Shows you Lego versions of famous paintings. So they have one of The Last Supper. They have one of... they have one of The Last Supper. They have one of Flying Trapeze. They have one of... I don't know. They just have a whole bunch of really cool ones, and then Nighthawks is up there. And I want dogs playing poker made out of Legos. I thought that was cool. Thought I would pass it along, and it was one of those things where you look at it and you go, man, why hasn't anybody else done that so far? I've seen people use Legos to create pixelated versions of video game characters, but never anything this out there and cool. So next thing we have up here is a sleek steel Pullman Nixie wall clock. That means nothing to you. It almost means nothing to me. Nixies are actually vacuum tubes that were designed back in the early days of computing to, when they receive a certain signal, actually display a number from 0 to 9 on the in like a glowing filament, and they're incredibly expensive. We actually showed an alarm clock that was with Nixies. I love the way they look. They look really cool, really hardcore and old, very analog tube, very warm feeling. And unfortunately, that clock was like $600 because Nixies are very expensive. I didn't see how much this... Oh, sorry. This one's $340 for a wall clock. It's technically digital because there are digits. There are no hands. And it's a very nice example of industrial design, but I will never spend $340 on a clock. I might be cheap, but $340, man, it blows my mind that people actually sell these things. And I would love for this kind of thing to come down in price, even if it was a faux Nixie. A faux Nixie would suck. But I just like this kind of idea. So again, this is the sleek steel Pullman Nixie wall clock for $340. It's actually a cool little video over at Gizmodo that you can head over there and check on. It shows you the different... There's a slight flicker as they change from one number to another. So it's pretty cool. It's almost like the... The closest thing that I've seen is if it's around the Christmas holidays, if you see those fake candles that people put in their windows where it has the filament in there that changes back and forth between one position and another. I'm not talking like LED ones. I'm talking about like the glowing filament that's supposed to imitate the flicker of a candle. That's the same kind of flicker that's in there. It's the same kind of filament, I believe, to a certain extent. So it just to give you an idea of what they have a nice deep warm orange glow. Now. Again, in the clock vein. Now, I don't have this problem because my wife and I work in the same place. But this is kind of a cool little thing. It's the Ring alarm clock. And now I know a lot of people who have very divergent schedules, and there are some people like I know that if I ever have to wake up that much earlier than Jen, my wife, she doesn't go back to sleep. So what this is a dual alarm clock. So you wear expandable ring around the tip of one of your fingers, and depending on which one of the rings, you can set it to vibrate when the certain time is reached. So it's a silent way to get you up. Unfortunately, I don't think one of these things would actually work for me. I either need an intense sonic assault or an intense physical assault to get me out of bed. So if Jen woke up before I did, this would be awesome, because she would be up, out, and I would never... Well, not that I would even wake up with the alarm, but still... Usually most mornings I wake up with her punching me, telling me to turn the alarm off. So this it would work for couples that have normal sleep patterns, but it just seems to be a really good idea. And actually, I would think that it's actually a little bit past its time. So you can actually slight little vibrate, and they say it'll fit 95% of the fingers out there. So I like it. Again, this is another beautiful example of wonderful industrial design. So yeah. All right, that about wraps it up for the tech tidbits, except for one final little image take. This is from over at mopo.ca. Now, this is a concept game, the only way I can think of calling this. It's a three-way, three-player chessboard. Imagine a Mercedes symbol, you know, where the one line going up and then the one line on either side. And then expand that into the chessboard, where the chessboard actually meets in the middle. Now, I don't know if they're the same rules. I don't even know if this is just like a performance art piece, to say the least. But this, I'm really intrigued by this. I mean, I love the idea that, you know, when they were playing the three-dimensional chess in Star Wars, it wasn't just, oh yeah, let's make some cool-looking game. They actually had rules to it, and you can actually make or buy the board and play. So I would hope that there's a way you can actually get this. I'm going to check it out, and hopefully we'll be able to find something like that. That about wraps up the tech tidbits section here at the Caffeination, and we have a little bit of caffeinated bits and plenty of beer tech just in time for the block party and just in time for the throes of summer to grab everyone completely. So strap in for this one. The first one, there's always room for beer jello. Yes, you heard me right. Beer jello. I don't know. Maybe it's just maybe it's just flavored beer, but I actually believe it is real beer jelly. Sorry, it says, they call it jelly, but it's really beer jello. It's gelatinous beer. So, I don't know what else to say. It's beer jello. What do you want me to say here? It's beer in jiggly form. So, there you go. There's nothing else to say. I keep trying to think of witty things, and I just keep looking at the picture of the somewhat lime-tinted. It's like a slightly yellow, slightly greenish tint to the wobbly bits that are on the spoon. So you can head on over there to trendhunter.com and actually check that out for yourself. And then the next one they have I have up here is over at gizmodo.com. Now, this is a way to make anyone feel like you're trying to compensate for something. This is a giant metal flask. Now, I have a flask, has a lovely, lovely little pewter statue of a gargoyle on the front of it. It's great. It's from, it's wonderful. It does all that a flask's supposed to do. I was like, how far can flasks really go here? Well, apparently you can get a 1 gallon flask now. No idea why this is necessary. I always thought they were called jars when they were this big, but it's monogrammed. So it's $200 stainless steel. It's 1 gallon of booze. There you go. Booze that comes in gallon containers, I think you might need to rethink your alcohol intake there. Just use the bottle it came in at that point, unless you're distilling your own, in which case you shouldn't be using stainless steel anyway. All right, now cold beer in your bag. This isn't a retread of the old story where we talked about the twisting beer cans, and once you twisted them, they actually had some kind of crazy chemical reaction in there. No, this is it's called the Carry Cool. It's a soft-sided cooler that actually has a fan system and I believe a small battery-powered air conditioning type unit. It's a portable refrigerator for all intents and purposes. It actually plugs into your car's cigarette lighter, and there's no word on how much it is. Let me see if I can follow a link or three and see if I can find it out. But it seems to be... Oh, never mind. That's $155. I'll just use the standard old thermos with a bunch of ice thrown in, but still. I thought it was a neat idea. I thought it was a wonderful, actually, innovation. Unfortunately, it looks like crap. You take an A-frame looking... handbag, basically the tiny end up top and then the wide end down the bottom in a triangular shape, and you strap something that I can only describe as the top of a Tupperware container to the side. And this is supposed to make you trendy and cool. Most other people are just going to bring their blue thermos container, Rubbermaid, whatnot. No, you're going to have a $155 cooler. I'm sorry, that is roughly $130 more than I would spend on beer. So, on a case of beer. And this thing can't even hold that. So, that's beer money wasted right there. Just thought it was fun, thought I'd pass it along. Alright, now here's an article from Slate that I actually saw a little while ago. This is actually from back at the 6th. And I've been saving this one, so hopefully you can find this one interesting. It says the Starbucks economics. There's a mystery of the elusive short cappuccino. Now, anybody who's ever had a real cappuccino will tell you that Starbucks cappuccinos, for some reason or other, never really measure up. There's just something about it that doesn't feel right, doesn't... It's not the fact, it's this grand conglomerate or anything like that. No, they just don't taste like a real and honest-to-goodness cappuccino should. And there's a reason for that. Apparently, anything bigger than 8 ounces... anything bigger than like 8 ounces, it's impossible to create the denseness of the foam from the milk to create a true cappuccino. The World Barista Championship rules say that a traditional cappuccino is a 5 to 6 ounce beverage, nothing more. So the smallest one that you can actually get at a Starbucks, supposedly the smallest one on the menu, is the tall. Apparently that's not so. There's a size that is not listed anywhere, not even on their website. However, it is in their other literature. I don't know why this is, but apparently any drink you get, you can get a short. It's cheaper. It's everything you would imagine it to be. So instead of the 20 ounce, this one is somewhere around 8 or 11 ounces, or I think it says. But, so it's actually a real cappuccino. I mean, maybe not the 5 to 6 ounce thing, but it's much smaller. It's cheaper. And the funny thing is, instead, the article over at Slate goes on to say that usually when you go into Starbucks, they announce with reckless abandon your order. They'll scream out to the top of your lungs, "Ah, double macchiato, pompous whatnot," and then everybody else will repeat it, and you'll get it, and everybody's happy. If you order a short coffee, tea, or cappuccino, they kind of talk about it in rather hushed tones. Now, we do have a Starbucks on campus, so I guarantee you, before next Wednesday, I will be trying this out. I would like to see if they actually do have short versions of all of them. So, unfortunately, according to official representatives from Starbucks, the reason it's not on the menu is to save space. And the reason that it's not on the website, well, there was no answer for that. So, it's actually cheaper, too. So, a cappuccino, a tall, is $2.65. A short is $2.35, so 30 cents, hey, still, it's apparently worth the weight in gold at that point, because it actually creates a real cappuccino. So, that was cool, that was kind of fun, and then finally we have a wonderful article from Jeff that's actually linked to a website called CoffeeFool.com. Now, I know some people in architecture, some of the students swear by this place. They won't drink coffee that does not come from Coffee Fool. So and I've seen their ads all over the place. I've actually never purchased coffee directly from them. So fortunately, this is a wonderful article. It says, "The Truth on Fresh." It says, "How do you keep coffee fresh?" And it basically says, whether or not you know it or know it right now, coffee should be classified as a sweet beverage. So all the bitter, nasty, oily stuff that you've been drinking is not really truly fresh coffee. So truly fresh coffee has to be relatively quickly roasted, relatively quickly served to you, and then there is no real way to keep it beyond its shelf life, or else you get the bitters going on. So I thought it was kind of a fun little article, and I got to tell you, I really enjoy when websites go the extra mile, even if they are strictly websites that are just trying to push product. When they go the extra mile and actually put explanatory articles and stuff like that on there, I'm much more willing to actually shop at them. So it's kind of, I like that, and thank you very much, Jeff, for the link to that. That's a real fun site, and I really should actually end up ordering something from there sometime. So I'll let you know how that all works out. All right, well, this has been Caffeination 146. Kind of a crazy edition. We had a little bit of a weird start to it. Thousand pardons, people. So you've been listening to Caffeination 146. The Caffeination is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. We're also listed over at the Blueberry Net Podcast Network. That's Blubrry. It's a social podcasting network site. It's a kind of like MySpace for podcasts. Speaking of MySpace, myspace.com/caffeination, and therein you shall find our Caffeination homepage. We have the register button back up over at www.caffeination.com. So if you'd like to receive emails, or you'd like to see the show notes and everything else like that, head on over to caffeination.com and you can click the register button at the top border and register for it. It'll give you an account on the website itself, so you'll be able to actually upload your you'll be able to actually post comments and everything, and they won't get moderated. So it's a fun little way to do that. And two last things here, certainly not least either of them. If you have comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, whatever else you'd like to throw my direction, you can send that to caffeination@gmail.com. And now, last but certainly not least, we have our Grand Central, the voicemail hotline, which is 215-240-1319, or you can click the call me button if you're in the continental United States. So we'd like to thank everybody for listening, and stay caffeinated, people.